You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you very much for making us part of your regular routine. Whatever it is that you're doing, going to work, taking a shower, going to the gym, we very much appreciate being part of your regular routine. I am John Corrales of the Rain and Jays, here today by myself to share with you a little conversation I had on the radio with Rich Kimble. Up in the zone in Maine, in Bangor, Maine. I have my regular appearance with him every week, so I'm going to share that with you today. I'm also just going to mention something that we'll probably talk about as the week goes on because there was a lot to unpack, and I want to have everybody with us, but Brad Stevens, Doc Rivers were at the ABCD Hoop Dreams event today. Kids playing on the parquet, playing basketball. It's a great charity event, and Doc comes back for it every year. Brad Stevens was there talking about a lot of things, met with the media, talking about expectations. One of the things that he talked about and one of the things that I'm going to be talking about a lot this season, expectations when it comes to this season. How do the Celtics deal with the expectations of being a contender? And basically what Brad Stevens said in classic Brad Stevens fashion is one of the beautiful things about right now in the NBA offseason is that nobody's lost the game, so everybody's got their own great feeling about what they're going to do. But he emphasized that you have to earn it. The Celtics have to go out there and earn it every day by going through the process, going through and doing all of the little things that they did last year. And one thing that he noted, and is very important to note, that by having everybody come back, he now has a team that understands what was not accomplished last year and what needs to be accomplished this year, and that may not take it for granted. And it's not like a bunch of guys coming into a new team and saying, hey, I'm joining the Celtics, we're supposed to be great, let's go be great. These guys were all part of the team last year, and they know that they fell short. They know how hard they had to work just to fall short. So they know they have to work harder to get past that level. And they shouldn't take anything for granted, which is a very important point by him. And I think is, if anything, is going to get them past this expectation level and past this feeling that, hey, we're the Celtics and we can just go out there and be awesome and you should just lay down because we're Boston. It's this feeling of, hey, remember how it felt when we lost to Cleveland last year. Remember how it felt in that locker room when they were celebrating and we were packing up and throwing our stuff from our lockers into a garbage bag to go home and watch the NBA finals from wherever it was that you were going. That pain is something that's going to drive them. Think about the San Antonio Spurs when they lost to the Miami Heat. They came out that next season completely driven, motivated, and they mowed down Miami in the finals. I mean, they came out with a mission, and they executed on that. That's going to be the type of attitude that the Celtics are going to need to kind of get through and get to that next level. So there is a great point made by Brad Stevens there that the return of everybody means everybody understands what it took, how they fell short, and what they'll need to do to get past it. Now, he also had an update on Gordon Hayward, and Gordon Hayward, it seems like he's ready to go. Brad Stevens says that he'll be ready to go 5-on-5. He even made an exaggerating look at his watch at any minute. So Gordon Hayward's ready to go. By the time camp starts, he'll be playing 5-on-5. Everybody's going to be healthy for camp. That's going to be super important. He talked about Terry Rozier being all smiles. And so I think the Celtics are coming in with the right attitude, with the right feeling about how to do things. And then we'll see how it goes forward. We'll talk more about this in future podcasts. But I wanted to mention it because chances are you'll be reading about that. And I wanted to at least mention it. And I wanted to make that point about everybody returning, because I think that's an important thing. Another thing that was brought up, because Doc Rivers was there, of course, the Ray Allen stuff, which I'm not gonna dredge back up. I will say I did discuss it on Locked On NBA. If you go check out the Locked On NBA, if you don't know, I'm the Wednesday co-host of Locked On NBA along with Jake Madison, who is the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. We get together for Locked On NBA, so check out Locked On NBA for that. If you really want more on Ray Allen, we kind of expanded out to talk about players leaving and why they might leave and all of that stuff. If you're interested in that, the other stuff we talked about was Nate McMillan signing an extension in Indiana. And then we had a great discussion. If you were starting an NBA Hall of Fame, NBA only Hall of Fame, who would your first five players be? Who would your first five players be if you were starting an NBA Hall of Fame? It's an interesting question, I thought, and we got into that. I picked my five. He picked his. You're going to have to go listen to Locked On NBA. I'm sorry to tease you like that. You're going to have to go listen to Locked On NBA to get those five players. I feel good about my five. Jake had a little bit of a different take on it. Also a great five. I will say that there are a couple of Celtics, obviously, that make that list, but you're going to have to go check that out to get the full five. Doc Rivers talked today, and an interesting quote. He said, "If I had one game to win for my life, I'm taking that 2008 group and we're going to war." He loves that 2008 team. And that starting five still hasn't lost. According to Doc Rivers, that starting five still has not lost the game. So interesting to hear Doc still talk about that. He was also reacting a little bit to, the Ray Allen stuff and because Ray is, still talking about it. So that was said. Interesting topic there. Okay. Now I'm going to share my conversation with Rich Kimball, which I do every Tuesday in Bangor, Maine. We talked a little bit about the Lakers moves, actually. We talked about Kyrie making a donation to the Standing Rock Sioux tribe. We talked about Jason Tatum, an interesting conversation with Jason Tatum, which I'm going to let you listen to the hit, and then I will expand on it afterwards. So before I get to that, before I get to my radio appearance, I do want to remind everybody here that it is crunch time for fantasy football season, and the Locked On Network is delivering. Locked On does have a new, brand new fantasy football show called Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you the latest trends, hot roster moves, where to get the advantage, plus Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you the edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league.
Hey, we're back on Downtown on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's talk basketball. To do that, we turn to John Corrales of RedsArmy.com, the Locked On Celtics podcast, the Rain and Jays podcast. And John, I want to make sure I read this piece right at RedsArmy.com. You think the Lakers made a smart roster move?
Well, they did, actually, to waive Luol Deng when they did, how they did, to get him to give back money. They actually created a spot that's big enough for them to sign Kevin Durant, which I know it might sound crazy that, hey, that'd be great to have LeBron and Kevin Durant on the same team. However, that would do a couple of things. One, it would start to break up the Golden State Warriors, which the sooner that happens, the better it is for the whole league. Everybody would like to have a little bit more parity. LeBron getting a little bit older, teaming him up with Kevin Durant, and who knows who and what after that. You have a new team. They'd be good. Maybe you create a Celtics-Lakers NBA Finals, which would be great. And I think the Celtics would be good enough, assuming everybody comes back, to win a series against those Lakers. So I think that move was competent. I think it could potentially do enough to even out the West. And at the very least, it puts a little bit of a future rivalry a little bit closer, reigniting the rivalry. So I like it.
All right. What are the odds that the Lakers will continue to make intelligent roster moves?
Never. Those odds are very low. Who knows? I actually like their offseason. Getting LeBron is obviously the biggest move of the offseason. Getting all of those players back on one-year contracts, the Rondos of the world, is good. You know, I'm all for giving LeBron that year break. Like, he's making that move to L.A. That's fine. That's a personal move. He clearly didn't go there to win a championship this year. Take that year. Maybe he gets his body back together and has a longer offseason so he can kind of recuperate and come back stronger the following year. And now the question for them is, how do they reassemble that roster after all of those one-year contracts are up? And it's just going to be interesting. They're going to depend a lot on that development of Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and those guys. But, you know, so far, not so bad. I've seen a lot worse off-seasons, so we'll see.
We talked last week about Kyrie Irving discovering some of his family roots, and now, as you wrote, he's going to be helping out financially the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe.
Yeah, it's a nice gesture. He donated $110,000 specifically to go to youth programs. And I'm not sure how many people know it. I think it's a fairly well-known fact that the types of programs that's going to help, the alcohol, substance abuse prevention, mental health, that is occurring in Native communities at a lot higher rate than it is in other communities, even other minority communities. So that is a very important thing for members of the Standing Rock Tribe and others. It's something that not many people talk about, but in the Native American community, drug and alcohol abuse, it starts younger. It's much more pervasive, and it's a serious problem. So I applaud Kyrie Irving for addressing that specifically with a fairly sizable donation.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Well, everybody knows about what Gordon Hayward can do, what Kyrie can do on the court. But as we think about the season to come for the Celtics, who is somebody that you think might emerge to be a key player, a guy that may have a bigger role than we expect right now?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because I think so many guys are going to have huge roles. I think Jason Tatum really is the most interesting guy here, because he has that capability to be a big-time player. He has the tools, but he's also, in the starting five, he's the youngest of the five, and he has shown a propensity to defer to everybody else. And I just wonder what his role is actually going to be this year. We all have high hopes for him moving forward. Obviously, we look to him as probably the star of the future, and we saw late in the playoffs that he has the ability to really take over if he wants. The question is, what does he want? And how is that want going to translate on the court? He has talked about his desire to do whatever the team needs. There's been some rumbling that, hey, maybe he becomes more of a bench player, that in some roles you start him off the bench and Aaron Baines becomes the starting center, and you start Hayward, Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Horford, and Aaron Baines, and you bring Jason Tatum off the bench. Really interesting concept, because that brings you back to the younger days of Kevin McHale, and if you go back further, John Havlicek, where you brought a star-type player off the bench, and he thrives. And someone suggested to me on Twitter today, maybe he does take that role, and maybe he becomes a sixth man of the year until the rest of things get sorted out. That's not insane. That's not a terrible thought. So of all the players that they have, and, you know, Marcus Smart could have a huge impact, Terry Rozier is going to be an interesting guy to see how he handles that role. Jaylen Brown is super interesting, but I think that his role is a very strong, switching forward, can really help. I think Jason Tatum is the most interesting of them all because he could be used in so many different ways. And just the thought of unleashing him off the bench somehow, even in sporadic situations, man, him against second units would be really, really interesting.
John, it's been a while. Refresh our memory here. We know that Danny Ainge has got enough picks kicking around still to start a new franchise here. What are the teams we want to be, I guess, pulling against this year to give the Celtics a better pick?
Well, the Sacramento Kings, first and foremost. And it's going to be interesting because the lottery odds kind of changed. And instead of being tiered, so the worst team gets the worst odds and the second worst team gets the second worst odds or best odds, the top three in the lottery all have the same odds. So you're hoping for Sacramento to get no worse than second worst, or I guess no higher than the second pick. Because if it goes number one, it goes to Philly. So we're rooting against Sacramento. We're rooting against Memphis. We want Memphis because the Celtics have the Memphis pick. It falls out of the top 12, if I recall correctly. Then the Lakers. I mean, not the Lakers. The Clippers. Because they have the pick if it falls outside of 15. And then they have their own selection. So we're kind of hoping that the Clippers are mediocre. We're hoping that the Grizzlies are a little disappointing, but not too bad. And we're hoping that the Kings are really bad, but not so bad that they get the first pick.
So you had to do this full time just to keep track of all of that.
I mean, keeping track of Danny Ainge's draft picks really is a full time job. I think I need to go and get like an accounting degree or something, or at least an abacus, just to keep track of everything.
By the way, I did as promised right after the show last week. I signed up patreon.com/John Corrales. I urge others to do the same because, as we talked about last week, you're going to be putting some great content out there, not just Celtics, but all kinds of basketball, and it's going to be terrific.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be a one-man solution for all of your basketball needs. So thank you for subscribing. I hope everybody does.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you, John. Have a great week, and we'll check in next Tuesday.
You got it, man. See ya.
First, I want to thank Rich for mentioning the Patreon. Again, if you're just learning of this, I'm quitting a very well-paying job in New York City to go back home to Boston. I'm going home. I'm going to be covering the Celtics full-time, and I'm going to be doing it on my own. No one has hired me to go cover them for their paper, their outlet, or anything like this. I'm doing it myself. I'm doing it with the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm doing it with RedsArmy.com. I'm doing it through Patreon, and I'm also going to stay with Boston.com doing the freelance work that I've been doing for them as well. But the Patreon is going to be a big thing for me, and anybody that wants to subscribe, patreon.com/John Corrales, $2 a month, and you're going to get a lot of stuff, and it's going to be an evolution, but I'm going to do video breakdowns. I'll show you the plays. I'll get on a whiteboard. I'll diagram those things out. I'll explain to you why certain plays worked or didn't work during the game, the pivotal moments, and really get into the nitty-gritty and explain as best I can and help you understand what went right, what went wrong in those games with certain players and different things like that. I'm also going to give you an advanced scouting report on the teams that the Celtics are playing for that week. I'm going to do college scouting. I'm going to watch these college games, which I haven't been able to do in my prior life because of work. I'm going to scout these players. I'm going to watch it with a scout's eye. I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on what these players do on the court, off the court, how they react. I'm really looking to see who can translate their performances from college into the NBA. So I'm going to be doing a lot of that, plus some more stuff as it comes up. And if you have any ideas, hit me up on Twitter, RedsArmy_John, and let me know what you think I should do, what I shouldn't do. But $2 a month, it's not a lot of money. I know a lot of people are asking you for subscriptions and stuff. I get it, but I'm hoping that you have an extra $2 a month. I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot for that $2. I want to be your one stop for NBA coverage. I definitely want to be that one place where you can get everything. So hit me up on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. Subscribe to my Patreon, patreon.com/John Corrales. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter profile. There's a link there. I hope you will take advantage of that, and I promise to deliver a very good experience. And if not, you can just unsubscribe. So very simple. So I have to earn your money. Okay, back to the thing I was talking about, Jason Tatum. Lots of discussion about who will come off the bench. In a scenario where Aaron Baines starts, we have that. Well, who sits when Aaron Baines comes in? I've started to lean towards Tatum, and people keep putting this little bug in my head, and I'm trying to figure out if Tatum coming off the bench more often than not is something that makes sense. Like I said with Rich, it's a very reminiscent scenario as Kevin McHale once upon a time. Now, Kevin McHale became an obvious starter and a Big Three Hall of Famer. So you can come off the bench early in your career and have it not be something that you're locked into. That's obvious. John Havlicek did it. Great players have done it. The Celtics have a rich tradition of bringing one of their best players off the bench. They innovated the sixth man. Maybe getting Jason Tatum to really perform at his best is getting him in scenarios where he's not with Kyrie or Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown and Al Horford. Maybe, and I'm not advocating for this yet, but the argument is there. Maybe bringing him off the bench and having him be the primary guy off the bench, plus in your finishing lineups, maybe that's a way to get him to be more aggressive, to carry the load, to make sure he gets enough shots while not taking away shots from all the other guys. And you put Aaron Baines in. Last season, he was part of the best defensive lineups. Maybe that's an answer for the Boston Celtics. I don't know that that's the answer. I'm kind of on the fence. My belief is that they'll start Tatum and figure something else out. And occasionally they'll start Baines. And then at that point, who knows? But there is something there. It's not crazy. It's not as crazy as sitting Al Horford, I don't think. It's not as crazy as sitting Gordon Hayward. That's not going to happen. You need Hayward on the floor. You need Kyrie on the floor. I think you need Jaylen Brown on the floor because he's so versatile defensively. I think he's a better defender. And you need Horford on the floor to make sure the defense stays honest and to be a passer. It's not insane. It's not insane. You might think it's insane. It's not insane. That idea is there. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, it's something to talk about. And I'm sure it'll come up again plenty of times before the season starts. It's only September 4th. I wish it was November 4th. It's only September 4th as I record this. September 5th as you listen to this. So, who knows? Maybe by the next time we record a show, I'll think it's a dumb idea. But right now, I think there's something to it. There's at least something worth discussing. I hope there's something to you subscribing to the podcast. I'd love to have you stick around if you're a new listener. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast, however you're listening now. If you're listening through Twitter, you can go to wherever, Apple Podcasts, Google, your Spotify, anywhere podcasts exist, we exist. And if for some reason that's not true, if that somehow becomes untrue, tell me and we'll make sure we exist there. We are everywhere podcasts are available. Also, it's a very big help. I know we say it every podcast, but if you can, please give us that 5-star rating. Give us a good review. If you like the show, go to Apple Podcasts and give us that review. It does help us in the rankings. When we push into the top 100 and people kind of find us because we're there and featured, then that means more people come to listen to the show. And the more people that listen to the show, the more it helps us out financially. And this is going to be part of my full-time job. So any way you can help me out, be great. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again shortly to get much more in-depth into a lot of these questions and comments that came up tonight. We'll get back with Jay and Sam. So stick around. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.